I want to share with you why I believe in and pursue revival. I'm very conscious that revival can be a catch-all phrase, it can be a clichéism, it can be a lot of things. Calvary Cathedral International is a family church. We're a church that believes in Christian education, and we've paid our dues to have a wonderful Christian school, Calvary Academy. We believe in Bible school, and that's been going for many, many years. As many years, I think our Bible school is 1 year ahead of the Christian school as far as the time that we've had a school. And then, of course, we try to major on what God majors on. You know, I read in the verse in the scripture so many years ago that my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. And I think if we major on what God majors on, that surely we can expect the blessing of God. And it's not a point of pride, it's a point of thanksgiving that since May of 1995, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are people in that power tower receiving calls, answering those calls and praying. It's only if the lines are jammed does it go to a recorded message. There are people there. The lamp of intercession has not gone out since May of 1995. And for those of us that have organized a week or 2 weeks of a 24-hour-a-day prayer chain and the links broke before the week was over, some of us realize what a miracle it is that God put together such a wonderful, wonderful blessing of God. And then with the coming of revival in 1993, I don't believe God gives us anything just for emotion or feeling or goosebumps or whatever. But we've tried to go out. In fact, this church has exploded in local outreach as well as missions outreach. We come in to receive, to go out to serve. And people from this congregation are witnessing across the Metroplex every week. God has blessed us since 1993 when my heart became desperate before God. I didn't realize how much trouble our nation was in. I just knew, I felt like, how can you explain it? Like there was a death on the inside of me. And in January of 93, I began to cry out, God, I don't even know if I know what I'm praying for, but God, send revival. Send spiritual revival to this nation. And there was a verse from Psalms 85 and 6 that said, revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And then from Acts, the 3rd chapter, verse 19, it talks about repentance. And the Amplified on that one does such a beautiful job. But it said from the King James, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God. You see, there's a preparation for the times of refreshing. Preparation precedes manifestation. And of course, Dr. Bill Bright has championed 2 Chronicles 7:14 as well as so many of us through the years. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their sins, God said, I'll forgive sins, I will heal the land. God said, I will turn it around. So, ladies and gentlemen, really it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out we're not going to change our nation by government programs. And as much as I believe in the right people being in office, that's not it alone either. You could have all kinds of offices filled with godly men and women, but if churches were dead, the nation still has a problem. So it comes back to this. Everything ultimately rises or falls on leadership. I was in a meeting the other day and everybody's lamenting how we need revival and people are traveling thousands of miles to see revival. All I know to say is they didn't get as hungry as I got when I got hungry for revival, because I came home and said, we're going to have it if it empties the church. Now, if you're going to have revival, if it doesn't disturb or rearrange or whatever, you'll wait until hell freezes over. But as for me and my house, and as for me and the staff that I have, we are going to see a moving of God's Spirit. And I meet people all the time that say, Pastor Nichols, there are people all over the Metroplex that have brought people to Calvary Cathedral International that gave their hearts to Jesus, and now they're back in the church of their relative that brought them or whatever. There are people all over the Metroplex that have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are those that are here and will be here. But this revival is not just about me. It's not just about us. It's about Jesus. Any revival is about Jesus. To see people come to Jesus. And who was it that said that there's no limit to what God will do if we don't worry about who gets the credit? And I believe that is so wise. So why do I believe in and pursue personal revival? We're a family church. We're a church that believes in Christian education. We're a church that believes in Bible school. We're a church that believes in missions. And on the story goes. But why do we continue to seek after and to pursue revival? God has sent us some of the greatest ministries in the entire world in this church. Thank God in 1993 that God sent Rodney Howard Brown, and he just had enough South African in him to be a bulldozer, and we plowed the thing through. The Spirit of God did. Could have gone either way for about 10 days, and thank God it broke. And since then, we've seen an avalanche of God's power. We thank God through the years for ministries such as Evangelist Dwight Thompson and a host of others that I could call their names that have come into this house, and God has done a wonderful work. Everyone has left a tremendous contribution. Let's go to the heart of the matter. Why, as a pastor, do I believe in and pursue personal revival? First of all, I'm not interested in a church revival because a church revival begins with personal revival. One of our young Timothys in the ministry, Keith Johnson, up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, he came down and was kind of concerned about his pastor. We laugh about it. He said, Pastor, I thought you'd gone off the deep end. You've always been Mr. Balance. But he said, when I walked into this auditorium, he said, the Spirit of God arrested me. And God touched him, and he spent some carpet time. You say, why do we have to spend carpet time? Because we need it, and that's one time God has the say-so. But make no mistake about it, a personal revival is about more of Jesus. It's not just music, and I love music. I love what all you guys do. It's not just great preaching, and we've had some of the greatest preaching in this auditorium that any church could have. But do you remember when that heavy load of guilt was on your shoulders? And you went home from church that night, and for the first time you could say, not saying, wait a little longer, please, Jesus, but you said, come now, Lord Jesus, because the weight of sin had been lifted from your heart and your life. Oh, there's not a hell on earth like the hell of unconfessed and unforgiven sin. It's like when you're driving the speed limit and the lights come on behind you, you just know that it's for someone else. But if you don't remember where the speedometer has been, you're saying, Jesus, hey, man, help me, Jesus. And you're making God promises, and you're promising God things that you need to go back and take care of. And then when the officer goes by you and catches someone else, you say, never mind, Jesus, it was all right. Just got a little carried away there. Let's get back to a serious note. Thank God. Do you remember when you first found Jesus? Do you remember when that monkey was off your back and the burden of sin was lifted? You didn't even know that you could be born again. But when you bowed your head on the steering wheel and said, God, forgive me for ruining my life. And he forgave you. And no longer was your life ruined, but your life was saved and born again. It's all about more of Jesus. There was a time when the whole Cruz family, maybe except mother, wasn't even serving the Lord. And maybe so. But thank God you can stand today, Paul. I want you to stand. As I said, the whole Cruz family is born again today. The whole Cruz family is born again today, because revival is more of Jesus. It's not personalities, it's not pews and carpet and music, although all of this goes with it. It's just having that sweet, velvety feeling in your heart, nothing between my soul and my Savior. If I go out on the freeway today, hallelujah, I'll go out with a shout because my sins are forgiven. My life is changed. Don't have anybody that I have to go repent or ask forgiveness. Clean, clean before my Lord I stand. Folks, a personal revival is about more of Jesus. Getting back to basics. Getting back to you can't get out of wait to get out of bed to go read your Bible and talk to Jesus. Personal revival. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing in your life that is more important than your personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for a decent automobile to drive and a decent home to live in. Thank God for a good job. But the most important thing in your life is your personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is greater. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. When you get to heaven, the Lord's not going to ask you if you attended the Episcopalian church or the Presbyterian church, or were you a charismatic, or were you a Baptist or a Methodist. There's going to be one name, and the blood of that name that's going to guarantee your entrance into the presence of God is going to be Jesus. So I pursue revival because revival is more of Jesus. I don't want to be just another pastor. I don't want this to be just another church. I don't want us just to go through a boring religious ritual and routine. I believe you're pursuing a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most turned on choir I've ever seen in my life. They're not up here for performance. They're up here because they're singing unto the Lord Jesus Christ and praising and worshiping Almighty God. Believers experiencing personal revival is the lifeblood of a New Testament church. So a pastor goes to Pensacola, goes to Toronto, goes to wherever you want to go, and you come home all fired up, but if your church is dead and your staff is dead and your leadership is dead, that's a preacher-killing situation. How many a minister has died of a broken heart, literally died of a broken heart? He did everything he knew how to do to try to shake up, wake up, stir up a church to have some revival. See, back years ago, revival, you know, you had a singer and you had a preacher and you knew how many days it was going. And so, you know, it was just all pretty well cut and dried. And you got the best preacher you could find, the best singer you could find. And sometimes it was good service, no preaching. And if you could have heard the preaching, you'd understand why it was a good service, no preaching. Sometimes no preaching was a real blessing. But oh, thank God, there's a new breed that God's raising up that they can preach the word of God red hot, full of the Holy Ghost, anointed by the power of God. Not only is there the anointed preaching of the word of God, which is not just pulpiteering to impress people, but it's followed by signs, wonders, miracles, altar calls, and people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Thank God God's putting it on television. He's breaking out of the four walls. The devil's not safe anywhere. It's the lifeblood of a New Testament church. If it wasn't for souls and pleasing God, there's a lot of things we could all go do if it wasn't for souls. Most of you don't realize how much hard work goes on around here in leadership. There's a lot of hours that are spent, not only by me, but by this staff, to do the things that are done in this building. And I want to salute this staff that we have. Evangelists coming through say that we have one of the finest, one of the best organized staff and altar workers. And those that work in revival, they say it's one of the best teams they've seen anywhere in the world. And I thank God for that. And I salute you for that. But I want to see every one of you experience personal revival. I don't want my bush to be on fire or joy to be thrilled with the things of God. Lord, she stays in revival. I have to pray at it and work at it. She stays in revival. We're not just doing this to be religious. But the other night as I was standing here, and I'm seeing people I've never seen before. And I saw two or three families coming, and you could tell they were very humble. They weren't dressed real nice, but two or three little children, old enough to know how to get born again. And when you see these families coming to Jesus, I mean, my pastor's heart just begins to pound and pound. When I see people come to Jesus, that's what it's all about. And I just watched them, and it's all I could do to contain myself. And I said, thank God Thursday nights and Friday nights and Sunday nights are worth it. And I want to see more and more people coming to Jesus. Well, let's go a little further. I know the gospel always comes down to what's in it for me. I was reading a book this last week. It's one of those books that doesn't make any difference who wrote it. The content was good. And it said Charles Spurgeon, commenting on the book The Ancient Mariner, said that it was one of the strangest imaginations ever put together, especially the part where the old mariner represents the corpses of all the dead rising up to man the ship. Dead men pulling the rope, dead men steering, and dead men spreading the sails. I thought, Charles Spurgeon said, what a strange idea that was. But he goes on to say, but do you know, I've lived long enough and I've gone into enough churches that I've seen dead men in the pulpit, a dead man as a deacon, dead men handling the offering plates, and dead men sitting there listening. But I'll tell you, this is a resurrection center. I thought that was very appropriate. Praise God. Very interesting. Thirdly, a personal revival is new life flowing out of a New Testament believer. Many people stop at a touch, but it's a change. It's not just a touch, it's a change. John, the 7th chapter, our Lord said on that great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Listen to me, church. I'm not supposed to be the only one on fire around here. Every one of you are to be on fire with the fire of the Holy Ghost. The evangelist is not to be the only one enthused, but all of us are to be excited that our sins are forgiven and we're going to heaven and we can take somebody with us. That's the blessing of it. Not only am I forgiven, but I can bring someone with me. And there's another PS that I'll put there. I've had people say, you know, we've attended churches for years that they didn't even give an altar call for service after service, week after week. But they said, I thank God that in Calvary Cathedral International, every public service in this church, there is an altar call for people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it right here on the pulpit. Right here on the pulpit. Please give a clear-cut salvation altar call at every service. Thank you. This is part of the furniture here at Calvary Cathedral. Why do we sing? Why do we practice? Why do we receive money? Why do we pray? Why do we go out into the 8 different communities? Why are we involved in foreign missions over the seas and across the borders? Souls, 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 souls is the reason. Yes, I have a pastor's heart, but I have an evangelistic pastor's heart. I was just raised that way, and that's the way it is. Personal revival is the new life and the new love that comes to a marriage and a home. Let me tell you something. The spirit of revival is not just to make you feel good. You get a man in love with God, and he'll fall in love with his companion. You get a woman in love with God, and she'll fall in love anew with her companion. It's impossible for me to love God and not love my wife. It's impossible for me to love God and not love my wife. Now, I know it takes a little more faith for some of you to pull that off, but it can be done. When the spirit of revival comes into your heart, you want to go home and be like Jesus. And we all say something we shouldn't have said. We all are still human. But you have the ability to say, please forgive me. Do you know there are people that have lived together for years as husband and wife that have never one time said, please forgive me. Would you please forgive me? Oh, just leave old Pouty alone. He'll get over it after a while. It may take him a month or two, but he'll come around. The Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I believe in revival in the home. And if revival doesn't go to your home, you don't have the right revival. Revival goes to your companion. Revival goes to your children. Revival goes where you work. It's not just me feel good on Sunday, but revival goes wherever I go. I was flying down the other day, but I was sitting by a Jewish man. And I mean, it was a sales force going down to Florida, and they were all going to party. They had one goal, and that's we're all going to get drunk tonight. And most of them had a good head start on it. And they came back to the man who was the lead manager, and they said, don't worry. Called his name, said, we'll get you drunk. I mean, I thought, my Lord, boy, you put me in a hotbed of witnessing here, Lord. So I pulled out my Bible and turned to, he said something about being Jewish. So I thought, okay. Holy Ghost said, turn over to Proverbs. Now, my Bible looks like a road map. Some people wonder how I read it, but I know exactly where it is and what it says. And I begin to read, and he said, what are you reading there? I said, I'm reading from Proverbs. It's a salesman's dream. I'll tell you, this is motivational material. There is no stronger salesmanship and motivational and PR material than you'll find in Proverbs. He said, yeah. And I begin to, I forget which chapter it was. And I begin to say, now let me just show you this. And I mean, you could have put it in a secular book and really not had to have changed it much. He said, man, that's good stuff. I said, yeah, it's good stuff. And I said, you know, you need to get a Bible and start reading a proverb every day. And this man was a tremendous motivator. I mean, I really respected this man. He was known as a man that was able to salvage salesmen who were about to be fired or transferred or just, you know, they were history. They would send him in as the last resort, and he had pulled zeros up to the top. In fact, there was a man on the plane that was their very top producer. He said this man was loud, he was abusive, he didn't know how to relate to people, but he was a heck of a salesman, he said. I didn't use the word he used, but anyway, moving right along. But he said, I told the guy, I said, you've got two choices. They sent me to fire you, but if you'll listen to me, I believe you can make the best salesman we have in the company. He said, today's my best friend, and I forget how many millions and millions. In fact, he'd sold so much that they were reneging on their bonuses that they had promised to give. You see, folks, church is not just boring. Revival is not just boring. The Word of God is not boring. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp as a two-edged sword. And he talked and he talked, and a couple of Bloody Marys went down, and then he brought him two more. And so help me, for an hour, those two Bloody Marys sat right there on his tray. And the guy came back. He said, aren't you drinking anymore? Well, he said, I don't know. I just kind of lost my appetite for that. And we just kept talking about the things of God. I believe that Jewish man is going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I took it as far as I could take it, but you can't always close the deal. But I left enough information for him to negotiate personally. I like to close the deal. Oh, I tell you, thank God it works in a marriage. A personal revival pays. It doesn't cost. It pays. When a believer starts giving of his tithe and offering, it pays when a church starts investing in revival and missions and outreach like we've done. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I've had some very good friends say, Bob, you're crazy. You ought to be stashing money away. You ought to be saving it. You ought to cut out this and cut out that and cut out the other. And I said, yeah, and we'd cut out God too. Hey, no one loves to have a little bit set back any more than I do, but I believe Jesus is coming, and I believe the day is dark, and I believe we better get the message out there and do it while we can. I think we need to work while the day is here. The night's coming when no man can work. And that's why we're doing everything within our power. Revival really does pay. when you become an investor in revival. You know, if I could come down today and I could call anybody's name and say, listen, I've got a hot deal. If you'll invest $1,000, I'll guarantee you you'll have $100,000. I mean, you can invest $1,000 and you can have $100,000 and I can guarantee it. You'd beg, borrow, you'd sell your car, you'd mortgage your wife, you'd do something to get $1,000 together because it's a sure deal. Please listen to me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the best deal you'll ever find. When you invest in souls, when you invest in missions, when you invest in the kingdom of God, there is no better investment on the face of God's earth. And I'll guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you'll never shed one tear over one penny you've ever given into the kingdom of God. Revival pays. Revival pays. Since 1993, when the spirit of revival broke in this house, our finances have doubled, our finances have tripled. But you know, I've had the greatest peace because I know I'm doing what God called me to do, and I know the church is doing what God called us to do. Dear Lord, and a prophecy came and said, because this church was willing to send thousands of dollars to a people that you've never seen, to a different color skin from any of you, out of the nation, some people say an unstable government. But oh, thank God, because you've been willing to invest in souls 10,000 miles away from home, I have every right in the world to go before my God and say, God, you're the God that supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. There's no security outside of God. I remember we were trying to get the financing on this building. Banker after banker said, we're putting our money in sure investments like oil and real estate. And then oil and real estate went, you know what happened? And I mean property that was selling for triple what it was worth and quadruple what it was worth. And all of a sudden the church that wasn't worthy of financing, thank God we paid it off, and oil and real estate has had their problems. But you invest in the right thing and God will pay your bills. You invest in the right thing and God will pay your bills. Someone was going to work on a church staff the other day, and a minister called me and said, I'm a little bit troubled. The first thing they want to know about how much money is in it. And so I tried to help that individual. Let me tell you something. I've watched every one of our staff that are dedicated and committed, and we do the best we can possibly do by the staff that work in this church, but I can't pay you what you're worth. Only God can pay you what you're worth. I'm not your source of supply. God is your source of supply. We're just seeing things happen all the time. I mean, if your paycheck is all you've got, that's poor security. The only security you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as I'm here, and as long as my children are here, and as long as my grandchildren are here, and as long as you're here, I'm going to believe that my God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Everybody doesn't have that gift of an entrepreneur. Everyone doesn't have that ability to buy a business cheap and sell it high. God gives certain abilities to people, and when God gives you gifts, God expects you to spread it around and give and share. But let me tell you, David had it figured out so long ago. He said, I've been young and now I'm a little bit older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen God's seed begging bread. You take care of God's house and God will take care of your house. You give when God tells you to give and God will take care of you. He may send manna from heaven. I don't know what he may send, but when your brook dries up, if you're in God's there, God will feed you every time. In a real personal revival, prayer is the engine that drives revival. I remember I was in a certain board meeting and a lot of faith people were there, and I said something about a bus ministry, and one of them said, God delivered us from works. We used to be in that works. Let me tell you something. Prayer. And I've had the same thing. Oh, you mean you pray every morning? Yeah, but God delivered us from works. We don't have to go through all those things like we used to do. We just cruising along, you know. Let me tell you something. There's a rest and there's a peace in God, but you do what God said to do. and God talks about soul winning, and God talks about prayer, and God talks about missions, and God talks about helping others. And I'm going to keep doing what God said to do. Just thinking about how prayer, you know, prayer, I could go a long ways back, but I remember it was one morning that God awakened my mother at 2:30 in the morning and said, pray. Bob's life is in danger. Call of God was on my life. Driving that yellow Mercury automobile 98 miles an hour. It wouldn't go 100. I knew how fast it was going. And I wasn't trying to drive to be smart. I was tired. I was returning from East Texas to work on a job of loading semi-trucks on a summer job. I was so tired I just couldn't hardly drive. And went to sleep, and that thing went out of control. And it's a miracle of God that my life was not taken. But thank God, God awakened Mother at 2:30 in the morning. And when that car started rolling about 3:30, God said, okay, Jewel, you can go back to bed. Son's okay. And when I called Mother from the hospital about 5 in the morning, I said, Mother, I've had an accident. She said, yeah, I know, but said, it's okay. And I've been praying, and God told me your life would be spared. And son, it's about time to surrender for the ministry.